Very good morning. Let us turn to the book of Proverbs as we depart slightly from our study of the book of Acts for this morning. As we remember Mother's Day, on behalf of the session of this church, I'd like to wish all the mothers in our midst a very, very happy and blessed Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day is something that we often say. But what is it that mothers really want? What is it that will bring them the greatest joy? And yes, we bring them out for a meal, we give them presents, and we pamper them on just this one day. But is that enough? Is that enough to grant them happiness that can last for a year? In a month's time, in a few months' time, we start to take them for granted, we start to forget. And as children, we start to be rebellious. But mom, 3 months ago, we brought you out for a lunch, right? Aren't you happy? Well, you know, it should be far more than that, isn't it? It's not just that one day. It is something that I'm sure is the desire of every child to bring delight to their mother. And of course, by extension, their parents. And so Mother's Day, yes, it is a day, one day, to honor, to cherish and celebrate mothers. But I think more than just a day, we want to bring them delight all the days of their life. And after all, I think we all do acknowledge that they have done much for us. In as what the Bible here says, in how they bear us, beget us, raised us, care for us, sacrifice so much for us. And how can we bring them delight? What is it that a mother desires? And specifically, what we are speaking of is a godly mother's delight. And while I'm not a mother myself, I would like to share, well, of course, from the Word of God. And what the Bible here says is what will bring a mother, a godly mother, her greatest joy. And that is what we see here in verse 22 to verse 25 of Proverbs 23. Specifically, what we see in verse 24, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. So right away we see righteousness and wisdom are qualities that are much desired in a child. Of course, we have to then ask mothers, is that your desire? Because what is delight, what is happiness? It is the fulfilling of desires, right? When you receive that which you most desire, well, that is what brings us joy. That is what brings us delight. And so in order to have that delight, we have to ask, well, what is our desire? What is it that we want out of our children? What is it that we want out of the children that God has given to us? And yes, while I understand that these verses are speaking of both father and mother, a parent's desire, these thoughts are not exclusive to mothers. They apply to parents in general. But of course, today is Mother's Day and the focus will be on them. But the application is to both, to parents. And I'll perhaps ask the question generally then to parents. What is it that we desire of our children? What is it that we really want of them? The future that they have. And, you know, quite naturally, of course, we will gravitate towards physical things. We want them to have a good future. We want them to have a comfortable life. We want them to have a good education. We want them to secure good jobs. We want them to marry well in the Lord. That they will have a godly home that they will establish. But a lot of times, our thinking is still very much fixed on the physical. And so we push them. We push them to study hard. We push them to be involved in all sorts of activities, to broaden their horizons, that they have wide experiences, that they can be useful members of society. But how about the spiritual aspect? Because sometimes in pursuing after all these things, we neglect, we forget that which is far more important, and that is their spiritual. And when we speak of the godly mother, I think what we all have pictured here is a mother who firstly herself delights in the Lord, who finds joy and delight, great delight in spiritual things. One who is close to the Lord. And because she has found joy in the Lord, she wants that for her children as well. She knows what a blessing and a great and what great importance it is to be close to the Lord. And she wants that for her children as well. And that becomes her chief priority. That becomes her greatest and highest goal. As what the Apostle John says in his epistle, he says, I have no greater joy than when I see my children walking in truth. Now, dear parents, is that your delight and desire as well? That even if you know, our children are not academically inclined, you know, even if they may not get that dream job of your dream, even if they will struggle throughout their schooling life, and they may not get that high-paid, cushy job that perhaps you envision of them, but yet they are godly, they are wise, they are righteous. Is that something that will bring us joy? Because when we have our desire, well, that is what we will work towards as well. And that is how we will raise our children in light of the desires of our hearts. And so when we think about desire, when we think about delight, we think of a desire as well. And what is it that will bring a mother her greatest joy? Well, a few thoughts that we can see from this passage here before us. For us as children of mothers, and I believe most of us are, well, of course, some of us have, our parents have gone, have departed from us, and perhaps we no longer have that opportunity. But for those who do, may we work towards bringing our mother and our parents the greatest delight. For those of you who are parents, well, we must examine our hearts and consider, are these the desires that we have, and are these the things that we will work towards for our children? Well, the first thought in verse 22 is simply to be attentive. Be attentive. And this is, of course, referring to children. Is your desire, right, that your children are attentive to you? See, the word here, hearken, right, has, well, the basic meaning of listening, but it has the meaning of to listen attentively, to listen carefully. And surely I'm sure that is the desire of every mother, that the children will listen to them. Because time and again, especially for the younger children, that is, well, what we constantly nag at them for. Listen! Listen to what I say. Pay attention, take heed. Right? And throughout the day, there are numerous instructions, numerous exhortations, numerous encouragements that a parent will give to a child. And sadly, more often than not, we don't quite see them listening. And what we do want is that they do. And so simply, the Proverbs here tells us, listen, hearken, be attentive, listen carefully to thy father that beget thee. And of course, the parallel verse will then speak of the mother. Okay, so if you understand something about Hebrew poetry, oftentimes the lines, one after another, it is in parallel. It is in parallel. That means when it refers to a father, it also refers to the mother as said in the next line, despise not thy mother when she is old. And so it refers to both, right? That we want our children, and the desire of every godly mother, her delight is when her children listen to her, to take her serious and pays close heed to their counsel. But perhaps at this juncture, it's also good to ask, then what sort of counsel do we give to our children? What sort of things do we want them to listen to us about? There are, of course, the daily instructions, right? All throughout the day, from the time they wake up. Come on, get ready, get dressed, get ready for school. Wash your face, wash your mouth, brush your teeth, feed, eat properly. Do all these things, this and that. And of course, these are the simple, the direct, the mundane. But more than that, isn't it? What is the counsel of a godly mother? Do we spend time to give godly counsel to our children? Do we spend time to try to direct them, not just to adjust their day-to-day habits, Not just to be concerned about the academics, or not just to be concerned, well, about the physical upkeep of their body, making sure that they eat their meals well, make sure that they're healthy and strong and fit. But beyond that, isn't it? What is it that we want them to hearken to? And it ought to be the exhortations, the encouragements from the Word of God. That is the godly mother's responsibility, the godly parents' responsibility, and that ought to be the godly parents' delight. And this was something greatly important, something which, well, I mean, basically it's a commandment. It's a commandment, isn't it? Well, we teach the children, honor thy father and thy mother. And that it comes with a promise that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You see, that is, has always been God's pattern for the family. That every generation will do their part to listen, to hearken unto the words of the previous generation. And that presumes, of course, then that every generation abides and follows the word of God, right? Because it's no use if your children hearken to you, but you give them bad advice, or you push them to the world, and you teach them about worldly things. Now, that is not something that they ought to hearken to you about. If all you show them is bad habits, if all you show them is a sinful and a godless life, then no, that should not be something that we want of them. But if every generation is godly, if the father and mother, they are men and women of the Word of God, and their desire, their speech is always seasoned with salt, guided by the words of truth, and they teach and they guide and they counsel their children from young, from the youngest age, their behavior, their thoughts, their attitudes, we teach them and guide them in that sense, then yes, we want them to hearken. Our desire sincerely is that they will listen and that they will pattern their lives after us. And if you think about it, actually it is quite an onerous responsibility. It's quite a frightening one to think about it. And sometimes you observe younger children, and it's quite interesting or cute even, the way that they mimic their parents, the mannerisms, the way of speech, the expressions, sometimes even their gait, right? The way that they walk. You say, hey, I know, I see that, right? I see that in this child because I see that in the father. I see that in the mother. Because children do listen or hearken. They may not always listen on the surface. You tell them to do something, they won't. But because they spend so much time with you, who else do they follow? They mimic you. And they will hearken, like it or not. And if we give them unwise counsel, or if we neglect counseling them, teaching them, guiding them in the way of truth, well, who will they learn from? They will quickly absorb any negative or sinful influences that come their way. Or worse still, they may learn from your ungodly example, from your sinful example. And if you're one that is soon angry, constantly angry, well, would we be surprised if they learn that from you? If you're one that is constantly losing a temper, shouting at them, and then they will also start to shout at each other and at their friends. If we are one that is very materialistic and worldly, and constantly the subject of our conversation is always about money, about getting more money, or maybe even being thrifty, but being obsessively so. Oh, I need to save money, I need more money, I need more money. What image are we presenting to our children? That this is the most important thing. That if in this life we can find every opportunity to gather more money for ourselves, to get the best deal and save the most money, oh, that is the best thing in life. And we and they hearken unto these sort of examples that we give to them. Ah, but a godly mother, a godly parent, he will be deliberate about the counsel and the teaching that he transmits to the generation after them. And if every generation does that, Israel as a nation in the past would have been very godly as well, because each generation will listen and will learn from the previous one. And they will receive wise counsels. They will hearken unto the Father that beget them. And in time to come, they will also continue to transmit these godly truths to the children after them. And one generation for to the next, they will stay close to the Lord. And yes, it is a laborious, it's a dedicated work. It's something that requires deliberate effort. It is not something that will just casually happen. We have to set our minds to that. But we also know that, you see, children will not always naturally listen. And that is something that has to be commanded. That is something that has to be taught. That is something that we must be consciously reminded of. Even as we grow older, or perhaps sometimes, sadly, especially so as we get older and older. When we were younger, when we were children, we listened to everything our parents say because, well, that is the only authority in our lives. But then as we get older, as we move into our teenage years, sometimes we start to listen elsewhere. We start to listen to other things, and we start to lose that respect that perhaps we previously had for our parents. And that is sad. And that is why the Bible here says it is something that must be instructed, commanded. Children, listen, hearken to your parents, to the father that beget thee, and do not despise thy mother when she is old. Honor thy father and thy mother. Children, obey your parents. Again and again, this is something that the Bible exhorts us to do, because we are prone to forget. Will we do so? For the delight of our mothers. And of course, as parents, that is something that we have to inculcate into our children from young. They have to be taught the importance of honoring father and mother, of obeying father and mother. Because that will not be our natural inclination. We will listen to what? We will listen to our own desires, our own selfish wants and our needs. And we, sadly, of course, will try to turn the tables around. Instead of children hearkening to their parents, you know, what we see, sadly, more and more so today, is children the ones that are instructing the parents on what to do. You give me what I want. You listen to me. You fulfill my demands. Is that not how children are today? Is that not how perhaps sometimes we have been when we were younger? And the children that are listening here this morning, are you sometimes, sadly, prone to that sort of behavior where your parents, or you think of your parents to be always there at your beck and call, and it becomes father and mother, you listen, you hearken to me, because I am the one in charge. But that ought not to be the case. Children have to learn from young that the parents' charge over their children, it is the God-given authority that God has given to the parents to exercise. They have that God-given responsibility to guide you and train you in the way that they should go. That is what God has tasked every parent. And we must not relinquish this authority. We must train up the children in the way that they should go, with a desire to lead them and guide them towards godliness, towards righteousness. Because we know that the heart is wicked. We will not naturally have an inclination to seek after God or after righteousness and after wisdom. And so the parent has to be, the child has to be taught to obey, to hearken, to listen. Not just because we manage to convince them that this is the fun thing to do, or this is in their interest. No, they simply listen because this is their duty. A lot of a tendency of a child is every time they're given an instruction, they will say, why? Why? They want to know. They want to be convinced. And yes, sometimes we can give a reason, but not always. Sometimes in the very moment, they just have to be taught that, well, this is an instruction. Receive it, listen to it, hearken to it, and obey it. Because rebelliousness is in all of us. It's a sin that God hates. And as children, we must learn to hearken. That's the first thought, to be attentive. Simply to be attentive. And then secondly, to be respectful. To be respectful. And that is something, again, the Bible tells us here in the second part of verse 22. And despise not thy mother when she is old. What does he mean to despise? It means to look down upon. to think lightly of, to not take seriously. And sadly, that is also a tendency of children. The thought then warns against the sin of looking down or despising, look lowly upon the mother. You see, if not properly taught, the child who does not hearken will also grow to despise and sadly even resent, down upon and not take seriously the counsel of the godly mother. That is the arrogance of youth, isn't it? The Bible describes this as foolishness, as foolishness. Just look a few verses up in Proverbs 23 verse 9. The same word is used there. In Proverbs 23 verse 9, it says, "Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words." That is the way of a fool, right? A fool is one who will despise the wisdom of words. So there, the proverb says, well, at the point of time where that person becomes that fool, where he just simply despises everything, every wise word that comes his way, you just don't waste your effort on him anymore because he is now a fool and he will never change. But before that happens, the counsel to all children, to all young people is do not despise. Do not look down upon. And I guess we all, to varying degrees or others, we went through that rebellious phase, isn't it? As we started to grow older, we became wise in our own eyes. Not that we really became wise, but we became rebellious. We started to think that I know better. What does daddy and mommy know? They know nothing. You start to go to school and you start to learn things. You start to go on the internet. And you say, wow, there's a wealth of information and knowledge there. And all these things, mommy and daddy didn't know. They didn't teach me these things. And yes, the children become so arrogant. Well, how do I know? Well, I went through that. As a child, you think, you listen to your parents and you think, well, they must be the smartest people in the world because everything I ask them, they seem to have an answer. And then after you grow older and you start to explore more and you start to learn a little bit, and with that tiny little bit of knowledge, we think we know better. We think we know far better. And yes, we begin to look down, sadly despise, and no longer respect our father and our mother. Some people describe that as, oh, that's just a generation gap, right? The children these days, they are growing up in a very different environment, and you have to give them that space. You have to give them that respect. If not, they don't respect you. But that respect, sadly, was lost years ago. Why? Because they were not taught about the importance of that respect in the first place. And so the counsel here very directly simply says, you do not despise, no matter what. No matter what. Yes, maybe our mothers, our parents may not be as educated as you are. Yes, maybe they do not have that same experiences in certain things as you do have. Yes, maybe they grew up in a generation where internet was not so prevalent, and so they did not have access to as much knowledge as you now have access to. But that does not then give us license to say, oh, you know less than me, therefore I do not respect you. Not at all. Not in the slightest. Because the Bible does not say, despise not your mother because she knows more than you, or because she has a more wealth of experience than you. No, he says simply do not do that, especially when she is old, when she starts to weaken, when she perhaps starts to lose some of the abilities that she previously had. And that is even more so the time in which we must love and respect and honor the father, the mother, the parents that have born us, that have sacrificed for us, that have done so much for us. And then we turn around sadly and say, you're old, you're not very useful to me anymore. Oh, stop being a burden, mother. Stop being a burden, father. Sadly, that's what we see in our day and age. So many of the elderly being cast aside, being ignored, being marginalized, being neglected by the very children whom they so painstakingly and lovingly raised. He says, no, not that at all. Not that at all. And then we come once a year and we bring them out for our lunch and we think we have done our part. No, this respectfulness extends throughout their whole life. Of all that they have done for us, we must love and honor and respect all the days of their lives. And you know, the Bible carries a very stern and a strong warning. We turn ahead to Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17. Right, Proverbs 30, verse 17. You know, here it simply says, despise not thy mother when she is old. That's an instruction, a command for us to obey. But Proverbs 30, verse 17 gives a much more stern instruction concerning that. He says, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pluck it out, and the young eagle shall eat it. That's a very strong warning, if any. Maybe it will not literally happen in that exact way, but the Bible is very clear, isn't it? There will be harsh, harsh judgments upon one who will think to mock his father or to despise his mother, who will not want to honor father and mother. It's a grave and a serious offense in the eyes of the Lord. And so that is something for all. Children of parents, whatever age we are at, to take heed of. But I would dare say especially to the young people. Because that is the point of time in our lives where we think we know better. It is a point of time in our lives where we think, I am so much more capable, accomplished than my ailing, aging parents. They seem to know nothing. And they are now a burden to me. Oh, that is precisely the time that we have to remind ourselves, despise not. Despise not them. Continue to love and cherish them. Because they are ultimately, after all, they are the parents that our Father, that our God has given to us. Love them. Respect them, honor them, and that is the delight of the mother. That is the delight of a father. But most importantly, perhaps, verse 23 onwards tells us to be wise and to be righteous. What is wisdom here and righteousness here speaking of? I think primarily it speaks of the fact that the greatest delight of a father and mother is the salvation of their children. The salvation of their children. I mean, that's the logical consequence of what, you know, wanting the children to hearken, to listen, and to respect and not despise. That's what leads up to, isn't it? That is a consequence of a child who grows up listening and hearkening to the godly parents, respecting them. They will want to follow in the faith of their fathers as well, in the faith of their mothers, because that has been what has been portrayed to them since young. You teach them the word of God. You guide them in the way that they should go. You pray with them. Why? Because your sincere desire is that they will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior as well. I'm sure. All the parents represented here, that is the desire of, that is the your greatest desire. And that is the constant and continual plea of your heart. That is what we pray for daily. That our children will know the Lord Jesus Christ. So it begins with them hearkening, listening. And as they mature in the Lord, they listen to their parents, they honor their parents, and they will want to know the God of their father and mother as well. And that is what we desire. And so the instruction continues in verse 23. It says, buy the truth and sell it not. When will we buy something? You know, every purchase decision that we make, we assess the value, isn't it? We look at a particular item for sale and we know, well, this is something that I want. This is something that I need and I will be willing to foot the bill. I will be willing to pay the price to purchase this thing. I mean, that's how transactions work, isn't it? You go to a shop, you look around. There are many things for sale, but many of those things you say, I have no need for them. And I do not see the need to foot this bill, to pay this amount to acquire it because it's not something of interest to me. It's only when you see the value in something and you know, well, this is something that I need and I will be willing to pay the price, whatever it may be. Right? And so when you go around to shop, you want to find the thing that is best suited to your needs. Whether it's a large purchase, like buying a home, a house, buying a car, you shop around, you look for that which to you presents the best value. Right? You go to a shop, you're looking for a new shoe or shirt or whatever it may be, you look around and you buy that which you deem to be the most valuable in your sight. And so that is how an acquisition is. You buy something that is of personal value to you. And so what does it mean when it says buy the truth? Well, it shows that truth is of value to you. What truth are we talking about? Well, of course, the truth of God's word. Sometimes when we buy something, we regret. Or not so much regret, or maybe circumstances change, and, well, you don't need it any longer. You bought it when it was necessary or useful to you. But after that, well, it just sits at home and it's not useful anymore, and so you sell it, right? For example, when your children are younger, and you needed a whole array of things for them at that point of time, at that age. But as they grow older, you don't need them anymore. You don't need that pram, you don't need that baby cot. And so sometimes what do? We sell it because it's no longer useful to us. But what it tells us here is that we buy the truth and we keep it forever. We don't sell it, we don't give it away, we don't get rid of it. You keep it with us. And what else? And also wisdom and instruction and understanding. And so what all these words represent, of course, is the word of God, the gospel as we know it. And all the teachings that come from the Bible, the wisdom of God's word, the instructions of God's word, the understanding that comes as we study God's word. He says that to all of us ought to be of greatest and highest value, something that we are willing to part other things for. And what other things? Your time, for example. That is what you would invest to acquire the truth, is it not? The effort, the energy that you expend in coming to know God's word and knowing God's word better and more each day. That's the currency that we will use to acquire the truth. He says, spend that time, spend that energy, acquire that truth and keep it with you and never let it go. Grow in wisdom, grow in instruction, grow in understanding. Is that the desire that you have for your children? And is that the direction that we will push them towards? And that all begins from young, isn't it? You inculcate these values in their hearts. Because, you see, the value that the parents hold over certain things, you know, that is what the children would also grow to understand. If the parents spend all their time pushing and focusing on the worldliness, on worldliness, on material things, will we be surprised if our children grow up to have that idea of value as well? And to them is no, buy the truth. No, I don't see my parents cherishing the truth. And why would I cherish the truth? Why would I cherish spiritual things and things of God if I don't see that pattern in their lives? And if they watch you and observe you, and to them, to my parents, well, church is just, you know, a few hours a week sort of thing, right? They just drag us to church, and we're there for a few hours, and then we go home, and throughout the rest of the week, there is no mention at all of spiritual things. There is no emphasis and focus at all about God and on Christ. They don't see that in you. Why would they want to buy the truth and sell it not? No, instead, they see you and your focus on the world. They see your delight and love for the things of the world. And they see you, yeah, working very hard, but so that you can acquire more in this world. And that becomes their attitudes and their values as well. It becomes no longer buy the truth and sell it not. It becomes buy the world and keep it. Attain and acquire all the things of the world, because that is what daddy and mommy have always wanted. Sometimes you hear that, isn't it? I work hard. Why? So that I can provide for my family, for my parents, the things that they always wanted but couldn't have. As I was my proudest moment when I could buy my dad the car that he's always wanted. Or I could house them in the house of their dreams. And in a way, yes, they have been filial. They care for their father and mother. And they give to the delights of the father and mother. But this is not a godly father and mother. This is a worldly father and mother. And yes, their children love them. Their children have provided for them. But they are not in the Lord, just as you are not in the Lord. The Bible says no. What is our concern? What is our greatest delight? That when the child is righteous, when the child is wise, yes, that is when the father shall greatly rejoice, and that is when they will have joy of him. They shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Is that what you delight in? And that is that we focus and want as well. A lot of times, you know, our concern is that our children are happy. Our children are happy. I mean, it's a very simple and a basic thought, and it's not a wrong thought to have. But sadly, what that also means is that a lot of times we simply resort to the easiest entertainment that we can find. Whenever they're fussy or whenever they're unhappy, I just throw them the tablet, throw them the phone, throw them some form of enjoyment that can distract them from what is not pleasing to them. And as they grow older, we have all these sort of incentives that we dangle in front of them, right? If you're good, if you obey, if you listen to me, if you do well in school, oh, we'll have this and that. We'll go on a holiday, or I'll buy you that, you know, console that you want, or, you know, I'll buy you this whatever that you want. And again, that value system gets built into them, where their understanding of what is important and what is meaningful in this life and what is it that we must strive for is fun and entertainment. And every time I behave well and I do well, well, I get rewarded with entertainment. Ah, entertainment is the chief joy. Entertainment is the most important. And again, that patterns in their life and that becomes what they want. But if we understand what our greatest delight is, and we begin to focus and fix that in their hearts as well, that in this life, what is it that we are really seeking for? What is it that we delight in? How we delight in the things of the Lord. How we delight in spending time in God's Word. We delight in obeying God and serving Him. And you pattern that in your life. And then the children will be able to recognize that as well. And they see what you value and becomes what they value as well. And so the teaching here to the children, buy the truth and sell it not. Why? Because that is the parents' delight. That is what we have patterned to them. And truly, I trust this is a truth that the Bible gives us here. The father of the righteous shall greatly, greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. And that is certainly my desire. But as my children grow older, what my greatest concern for them is that they will know the Lord. Because you see, our influence wanes as a parent as the children get older and older, isn't it? When they're young, almost every decision is made for them. We make it. The parents make it. But as they get older, they become more independent. And they begin to make independent choices, independent decisions in their life. And our prayer, of course, is that the direction and the path in which we set them on will be the path that they will eventually take for themselves. Right? And that's why verse 23 says, well, it is up to the child of what they want to spend their effort and their energy on acquiring. What they will focus and fix their lives on. Is it the acquisition of truth and wisdom and instruction and understanding? That's their choice to make, right? And so as the child ages, well, the ability for us to focus them in this path becomes less and less. We can counsel them and guide them and instruct them and says, please seek after the Lord. Please seek after spiritual things. But it is up to them and their conviction of their own hearts as to what they will want to seek after. And yet, as our influence wanes, but our prayer is that whatever it is that we have taught them from young will continue to be in them as they grow older and as they begin to make independent choices. And that's why the instruction is given in verse 23 to the child. You be the one to actively decide and want to buy the truth and seek after the truth. You be the one to want to seek after wisdom and instruction and understanding. Is that the description of our life? And is that the path that we are pursuing? And is that the path that we want our children to pursue after? Because the opposite is also true, right? Here it speaks positively of the fact that when you have a wise child, yes, it brings the delight and the joy and the gladness of the father and the mother. There are other verses in the book of Proverbs, for example, Proverbs 10, verse 1. A wise son maketh a glad father, that's what we've seen. But in contrast to that, a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Sadly, this is also oftentimes things that happen. When a son, when a daughter, despite all the best efforts of the parent, or sometimes, sadly, maybe because we were not spiritually focused and godly, and we were not that good example to the children when they were younger, they went after the things of the world. They turned away from Christ, and they did not want to have anything to do with God. This is the heaviness of his mother. This is the sorrow of the mother. As they see their child turning to the world, turning away from God, living in sin, living willfully in sin, and having not a concern for their soul. This is the godly mother's sorrow. In a similar thought, Proverbs 17, verse 25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. That's the mother. You spend all your effort and time raising up the child. And yes, maybe he's healthy, physically well, but he's not in the Lord. He's not seeking after the things of the Lord. He is a fool in the eyes of God. Maybe not in the eyes of the world. Maybe in the eyes of the world, he's actually very successful. But he is not seeking after the Lord. He is not concerned for spiritual things. The Bible says that will bring a grief to the father and bitterness to her that bear him. May that not be the story of our lives, whether as a child or whether as a parent. And so the question we ask ourselves, what child will we be? Will we be that attentive, that respectful child that is a wise and a righteous one that brings delight to the parents, to the mother? Or will we be that foolish child, the one that does not hearken, the one that despises and looks down on their parents and seeks after the world and foolishness? Which child will we be? And to the parents in our midst, what child do you desire? One that is successful in the eyes of the world but has turned away from God? Or one that is in the Lord? One that brings great rejoicing to the father and mother that bear thee. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the mothers, the parents in our midst. But Lord, we pray that thou will help us. Help us indeed to be wise and godly parents, that we will guide our children in the way that they should go, and that for the children in our midst, they will have a desire to buy the truth and sell it not, that they will above all seek after the things of God, and that as parents we will encourage them in that way, and never be the one to be a stumbling block, to be a discouragement, to be an obstacle in their path in seeking after the Lord, but always to seek and direct them in the things, in the way that they should go, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord in Jesus Christ. We thank thee for all the godly mothers in our midst. And Lord, we want to pray that thou strengthen them, continue to help them and guide them in their duties and responsibilities, for they are indeed many. And we thank thee for their labors of love, their sacrifice. And we pray that they will be indeed encouraged by thy word, to seek after thee, and to be able to be godly mothers, raise up their children in the fear and the knowledge of the Lord. We thank thee in Jesus' most blessed and holy name we pray. Amen. For our closing hymn, let us turn to hymn 400.